This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Some people don't much like taxes. Okay, most of us probably don't like taxes at all. But a big complaint for many is whether any tax system is really fair. Some on the right have been pushing for a change that they decided to simply name the fair tax. It would get rid of all current federal taxes, replacing them with a 23-cent national sales tax. Two Virginia Tea Party activists who are among those pushing this idea are with us this hour. Also on hand, a noted economist with extensive knowledge of tax history and the wide variety of proposals for change. Still to be determined which listeners will join in to share their view on fairness and taxes. I'm hoping that will include you, but we won't find out until after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. We are talking taxes today. And just in case you might have something to say about that, let me make note right away of our phone number, 888-WMRA-TALK, which translates in all numbers to 888-967-2825. Or you can post comments and questions to us on our Facebook page, where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. We have three guests here in the Insight studio. Albert Tucker is a longtime proponent of what he and others who support this idea have dubbed the fair tax, in essence, a national sales tax to replace all current federal taxes. Mr. Tucker serves on the executive committee of the Rockbridge Area Tea Party, and also here the chair of that regional Tea Party organization, Dr. Douglas Larson. Dr. Larson, welcome back to the Insight Airwaves. Good to see you again. And Mr. Tucker, good to see you for the first time. Thanks for making time for us.
It's great to be here, Tom.
Also with us, a James Madison University economist with extensive familiarity in the history of U.S. taxes. He is also the Kirby L. Kramer Professor of Business Administration at JMU, Barclay Rosser. Good to see you again, sir.
Pleasure.
So, Mr. Tucker, starting with you, if I may, please explain what the basics are of this national sales tax.
It's fair. What would get me on this side of the microphone was raw fear, because I read a report in 2007, the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, put out a report that said that by 2040, the entire federal budget would be insufficient to pay the interest on the national debt. That's what I call a wake-up call, and that got my attention. I realized at that point that something huge had to happen, and little tweaks to the tax code that started in 1913 with the 16th Amendment weren't fixing it. And it got me thinking, what tweaks would I think I would use if I was king? What tweaks would I do? Would I be Reagan or Kennedy and put in tax cuts, or would I be Clinton and put in tax increases? What fancy thing could I do to the tax code that would make it fix the problem we got? And none of them will do it. And the reason is because the current tax code is an impediment to profit. It impedes the productivity and the economy, the economic growth, because it taxes labor and capital before it has a chance to work in the economy. So the fair tax simply takes an embedded tax that's in that process and moves it to the other side of the economy, the spending side, the consumption side. It replaces one embedded tax with another. And that's as simple as I can put it for the fair tax.
Doug Larson, chair of the Rockbridge Area Tea Party, it's my understanding that a couple of years ago, Al came to your organization with the passion that he just displayed and got your group especially interested in this topic. So let me turn to you with my first question. Can you explain what the fair tax is, what the specifics of it are?
Could we go to just a little history where we are and then get to that?
If you could, give me the basics of this. Is a sales tax, right?
That is correct. It's a consumption tax.
And it's a 23-cent on the dollar.
That is correct.
Everything every American was to purchase.
That is correct.
Anywhere in the U.S.
That is correct. So
there are some tweaks to it, though. I mean, like the prebate, can you explain what that would do?
Sure. A way to make the tax system fair is to make certain that no one has to pay until they have reached what we call the poverty level. That means essentially on food, medicine, the type of things we must have. And so the prebate is every citizen in the United States on a monthly basis will receive a prebate. And that prebate is located on just something very simple. How big's your household? If you have two, you get a certain amount. If you have four, you get double that amount almost. And it then goes up to what the Health and Human Services lists as the poverty level. And beyond that level, after you've used your prebate and taken care of those essentials and goods and services, you then start paying 23% on everything you purchase.
It's my understanding, and Barclay, maybe you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, that at this point in time, the federal government standard for the poverty level is a family of four with an income less than about $24,000 a year.
Something like that, yes.
So we're talking about an amount coming to families such as that, making less than $24,000 a year. In essence, they're getting... Well, okay. I have a nod of the head or a shake of the head.
Shake of the head. It's not just for the people below the poverty line. Fair Tax says, I believe, that it's unfair for anyone at any level of income to have to pay the federal government tax before they put bread on their own table, provide for their own basic goods and services. So the prebate untaxes that amount of spending up to the poverty level for everybody, all the way up to Bill Gates.
Okay, so for the first $21,000 or $24,000 that a family earns, that's not taxed for anybody. But for somebody...
No money is taxed as it's earned. There is no income tax.
But I know that I can tell, see that devilish look in your eye, Al. You like catching people on this, but many people in
the
audience
confusion.
Don't understand the basics of
okay,
this.
Okay, here's the basics.
We're
not going to tax income.
The basics are that you get rid of all federal taxes and you replace them with a national sales tax.
Correct.
And to those people who say, now, wait a minute, what about the poor who'd suddenly have to pay an additional 23 cents on every dollar they spend? You say the
poor come out actually better in the Fair Tax because a family of four will get a check for $504 or whatever it works out to every month at the beginning of the month. And a family of four that has a $24,000 income will not pay income tax under the current system because they'll fall below that 15%, but they do pay payroll tax. That goes away. They're coming out way ahead.
The payroll tax is the Social Security.
Right. That goes away in a Fair Tax world. All the money taken out of paychecks going into the economy is removed. We get rid of the federal income tax, payroll tax, self-employment tax, capital gains tax, gift tax, estate tax, my all-time favorite, the alternative minimum tax. I mean, that just doesn't sound right by itself to me.
By the way, the estimates of the cost of this for the official proposal is probably about $600 billion a year, which would put it third behind defense and Social Security.
In
the
terms
cost
of
what?
The prebate.
The prebate. The spending going on the prebate would be about $600 billion.
Economist Barclay Rosser, who is not, as far as I know, Barclay, advocating for any particular one of the many tax proposals that are currently out there. In terms of what's been said so far about what this national sales tax, the so-called Fair Tax, would be, is there any essential item that we've missed?
I think you've got the main part of it, and I will say that I'm for some tax simplification. There are alternatives. There's the current status quo. There's the Clinton. There's some kind of tax simplification like Reagan. A very serious alternative that some Republican presidential candidates are for is a flat income tax. I might note what I think are the two biggest problems with the proposal, which I think are make it very hard to get adopted. One, this is the more minor one, is that it will compete with the state sales taxes, and I expect that many states will be not happy about that. The more serious one is that while it's quite good for the poor, at the very highest income levels, they are going to be paying much, 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 much less. And this becomes very serious when you compare it with the flat tax. So the flat income tax, you're going to have someone making $10 million a year, and they're going to pay, say, 23%, whatever it is. But you get somebody making $10 million a year, and they say they spend only $1 million on consumer goods, they're going to be paying 2%, not 23%. And that's going to, I mean, in effect, if you have a revenue-neutral change, what you're going to see is you're going to see probably taxes on very poor people going down, taxes on very rich people going down, and sort of middle class actually paying more, which when that gets seen, I think you're going to see that's going to be a problem.
J. Barclay Rosser, Jr. is an economist from James Madison University, Elbert S. Tucker III is a member of the Executive Committee of the Rockbridge Area Tea Party, and G. Douglas Larson is chair of that Tea Party group. If you want to join the conversation, we've got a couple of phone lines open at 888-WMRA-TALK. Kevin in Arlington, thanks for using that number and calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm glad to hear a rational discussion on taxes. These days, rational discussions sort of been lacking anyways, and on taxes is even more dangerous, really. I take this topic seriously. I'm running for U.S. Senate in Virginia.
Is this Kevin Chisholm?
Yes.
Okay. And you're running in the Republican primary?
No, I'm not. I'm running as an independent.
Running as an independent. Okay.
That's right. Dr. Rosser, I'm glad to see you're part of this discussion, someone with a knowledge of tax history. I hope this wasn't discussed earlier. There were a few minutes I wasn't listening, but in 1913, the U.S. government imposed an income tax. It was the first time it was imposed, and it was done not to raise revenue, but to prepare to raise revenue from something other than the taxation of alcohol. And so it was used with an alternative in mind. It was used with an eye towards accomplishing a public good. And we're almost on the 100th anniversary of that. I guess that goes without saying. But I think we should look at that again. How do we get tax money? I think we all agree, or maybe we don't sometimes. You know, there is a government. We have debt to pay. We have responsibilities. And I think we ought to look at taxes as meeting those responsibilities.
Kevin, as a candidate for U.S. Senate, and I apologize for cutting you short, but we do have other calls. As a candidate for U.S. Senate, have you taken a stand on the so-called fair tax, the national sales tax idea?
No, I haven't. There's one aspect I like about it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with earned income, people that actually make money by working. And so looking at other forms of taxes that would actually serve a public good, and I'm not sure a sales tax really does it as well as, or perhaps a more discreetly applied sales tax could. But I like that as opposed to penalizing people who work.
Okay, thank you so much for taking the time to call us. We have next Bill from California, who I understand is actually a colleague of Al Tucker's and has been active in the fair tax movement for some time. Bill has taken a few moments, I guess, out of a conference that you're in California on this very issue. Do I have that correct, Bill?
Yes, that's right.
So you have something to add to this discussion, I'm sure.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't party to what transpired earlier. If Al wanted to give me a little hint.
Hey, Bill, this is Al. Barkley, who's sitting here with us, came up with a $600 billion is what it will cost to pay the prebate. Do you remember offhand what that number is?
Well, it's a silly number. I mean, the point, adding all that up is nuts. Why don't we just add up the national debt? That's a mind-boggling number as well. The point is, the prebate will give a family of four about $524 a month. That's taxes returned in advance. That's what that is. And our overall tax rate is going to be about 11% for that family of four on average. If you spend more, you pay more. If you spend less, you pay less. And it's not a question of income.
So, Bill, I apologize for interrupting, but we're only about a minute away from the break. What is it that you would most like people to know about this proposal for a national sales tax?
It will bring entrepreneurs back to the United States. The investments will be at a zero rate of return. If people want to invest in your company and your country, then you shouldn't penalize them, and it shouldn't be part of their income for tax purposes. It's very simple. And the income tax is so harmful that people don't really understand it. It costs so much, it ships jobs overseas, and the fair tax will reverse all of that.
And I understand that one of the things that our two advocates here in studio, Doug Larson and Al Tucker, most like about this proposal is what they say it will do to the careers of lobbyists in Washington. So I'm going to ask you about that when we get back from the break. Bill, thank you so much for taking time out of that conference on the West Coast. It was good to hear the sound of your voice. We're going to continue here on Insight with Al Tucker, Doug Larson, and economist Barclay Rosser in just a bit more than 1 minute.
Sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny.
The Kinks sang The Tax Man Took Everything I Got all the way back in 1966. People have been talking about taxes for a long time. We're talking about it today and looking for your point of view at 888-WMRA Talk. Barclay Rosser is a professor of economics as well as a named professor in business administration at James Madison University. He's written extensively about the connections between economics and chaos theory, including the book From Catastrophe to Chaos, A General Theory of Economic Discontinuities. Medical doctor Doug Larson heads up the group that calls itself the Rockbridge Area Tea Party, based in Lexington, Virginia. Retired audio engineer Al Tucker is a member of that regional Tea Party's executive committee and is a longtime proponent of the national sales tax plan that he and other supporters of the idea refer to as the fair tax. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham. This is Virginia Insight. Doug Larson, you've told me a number of times before that one of the things you love about this is not only is it simple, but it simplifies what goes on in Washington.
Well, it does. Right now, what do we have in Washington? We have 535 people, and we have 30,000 lobbyists. We have a tax code that they add two new tax codes every day they're in session, over 16,000 since 1986 when they, quote, fixed the tax problem. What does this do? Fair tax, with all that goes away, you can't have a lobbyist putting something into the tax code because just can't do it. They can do other things, but they can't do that. So just eliminating some of the corruption of our government, which has come from all these lobbyists putting pressure, encouraging people to, you know, put this in and put that in. I would add one thing that happened just yesterday with our president that emphasizes this point exactly. He was on the news, and guess what he said? We're going to reward those companies that bring jobs back to the United States. Well, that sounds great and good, which he also means we're going to punish those who don't. And this eliminates this type of shenanigans as well. There was a study.
By shenanigans, you mean making any change in the tax code that gives any sort of reward or punishment.
Correct. Correct.
Based on any kind of behavior, correct, corporate, personal, otherwise.
Correct.
For example, right now we reward people on the income tax for the number of children that they have. That goes away.
No, that doesn't go away. No, that's no, the one thing no. that's preserved. Mm. Indeed, right. I would note that you're not going to be getting rid of the IRS or some all government bureaucracy, because you have to have somebody who's going to be keeping track of how many kids people have, and that's been well known as one of the sources where people cheat on their taxes. They claim dependents they don't have. And it also is no guarantee of the end of lobbyists, just as the Reagan tax simplification was followed by all these lobbying efforts to recomplicate things. I have no doubt that if we in fact do get a fair tax, you will have the lobbyists coming in saying, oh, well, we need an exemption for this sales on this thing and that thing, and they'll be back at it. So I'm in fact for serious tax simplification, but there's no getting rid of the lobbyists. They'll be back. Whatever is done, they'll be back to recomplicate things and hand out goodies to special interests.
Well, I already mentioned that they wouldn't go away because they always have influence, but they can't influence the tax code if we do one other step, and that is repeal the 16th Amendment. And that's where they gave them the opportunity of doing the tax code. But a couple other things I think are very important.
Remind me of my constitutional lack here. I didn't realize I was going to need to bring in my little the cheat sheet, what the 16th Amendment says.
Oh, I'm sorry. It allowed the federal government to tax individuals.
Income.
It's the income tax.
It's income tax.
1913, which
right.
I mentioned before.
And for 124 years, we didn't need it, and the country prospered. We added it, and then we started getting all of this complexity. I can't fill out my own tax without having to go to a CPA. Cost me $300 or $400 a year and a lot of hours and gathering material to give to him. That goes away. I don't even have to worry about April 15th anymore. But let me just make one example of where I think the jobs will come that will grow this economy. We're now in a stagnation area. They did a research. They interviewed 500 corporations outside of the United States, and said, if we reduce the corporation tax rate to zero, what would you do? 80% of them said that they would move a plant or their headquarters here, and the other 20% said they would come here. So what I'm saying is, if you want to bring jobs back to America, which we are losing like crazy, like we've lost 2,000 in the last 3 years, 2 million rather, in the last 3 years, this would do it. I can't see anybody would say, why don't we want to have more jobs in this country? We need them. We need them, and they'll bring in revenue. So we talk about this as being revenue neutral, but once it gets going and these companies start coming, there'll be more taxes coming into the federal government than we are collecting now, a lot more.
Dr. Larson, you've been here before. Professor Rosser, you've been here before. Al Tucker hasn't, but at least the two of you know that sometimes I need things described as simply as possible for me because it's difficult for me to keep track. Luckily, most of the audience does much better than I do. But let me, just in case there's anybody who has problems similar to mine listening, or they just joined in and they missed the beginning part, let me see if I understand, because it seems to me every once in a while I hear about some key element that I didn't hear at the outset. The so-called fair tax, as its supporters have named this proposal, is a nationwide sales tax, 23-cent federal sales tax on anything and everything you purchase in the United States.
Oh, no. Only new things. Only new things.
So if I buy a used car, that
wouldn't... No tax. You've already paid the tax.
Okay.
Why tax it twice? We don't like that.
There's an important understanding. So 23% sales tax.
Correct.
On everything new I purchase in the United States.
Correct.
But I no longer have to pay any kind of federal tax whatsoever.
On your income.
On my income, including the payroll tax, which
Correct.
Is the Social Security and the Medicare tax. There's no corporate income tax. So basically you're doing away with most every other kind of federal tax, replacing it with a national sales tax. And there's this prebate that everybody gets.
Yeah, why not?
Or every household gets.
Everybody, every household, or if you're one, then every
right.
one in a household. A family of four would get, like Bill said, approximately $524
a month. To cover the beginning part, the minimum.
No, that covers the tax that he will have to pay on that first $24,000, what we're calling the poverty line. On that $24,000, here's how you figure out the prebate. On the prebate is the poverty level times the tax rate, 23%, divided by 12. And that tells you what you're going to get every month.
Okay. So in essence, what your first $24,000 worth of income, whatever it is that you spent that on, you get the 23 cents back on a monthly basis. Is that
correct?
Okay.
Correct. Actually, you get it back at the beginning
of
the month.
You're getting the point that I'm simple here.
I love you, baby.
And I need it as simple as possible. Now, the other basic that sort of threw me was when Barclay added in that there is some sort of benefit for people who have children in addition to what we've already talked about.
If there are children who have tax ID numbers, Social Security numbers, whatever you want to call that, that's what qualifies them as added into the list for the prebate. So you, your wife, you and your spouse, there's two children, can prove that they're citizens, they're your children with their tax ID number, Social Security number, whatever you call that.
But you no longer get any kind of additional deduction.
No, there's no more deductions.
And you don't get a deduction for a mortgage on a house or anything like that.
Well, you can deduct the entire price of the house because you don't have income. There's no income to tax, so there's no deduction. That's the best part. No more bookkeeping. No more going to H&R Block. No more keeping receipts, ever.
We have
no more government poking into your bank, figuring out what you're doing with your money. I don't like that either.
So anybody listening who has any thoughts or questions about taxes in general or about this proposal for the national sales tax, all of a sudden, all of our phone lines are open at 888-WMRA-TALK. That's 888-967-2825. On Facebook, we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight, and we have this question that may be for you, Barclay, from Eric on Facebook.
I do have something to say, but go ahead.
Who says, what is the difference between this proposal and a VAT, or value-added tax?
Okay, that's a good question. Indeed, Mitt Romney has at times supported the idea of a VAT. A value-added tax, in effect, has the same impact on the economy as a sales tax, although it wouldn't be able to have this prebate. So that would be one difference between this proposal and a value-added tax. The value-added tax is collected through the process, the stages of production. So if you're a steel company, you would subtract the cost of your purchased inputs, coal and iron and so on, and then it would be a tax on the difference between them. This is a very widely used tax in Europe. A big difference is that it gets built into the final price, so you don't see it at the end, whereas with the sales tax, you see it at the end. You go and you take your good up, and bing, it's added on. But in terms of the impact—
So I buy my tennis racket with the fair tax, I have to pay an extra 23 cents. No. But if I buy my tennis racket with
the VAT, the 20% is going to be built in.
Into
yeah.
the
Probably the biggest
price.
Difference is that you're not going to be able to have this kind of prebate that you have. But otherwise, in terms of impact on the income distribution in the economy, they're gathered in different ways, but they're very similar in that respect. But they're gathered in very different ways.
I couldn't disagree more. The VAT, just as Barclay said, is added at every step of production. It actually goes beyond that because the producers have steps of production. It's almost impossible to see how far back it goes. The fair tax is a one-time tax at the point of final sale, period. It's not included in any of the steps of production at all. It's only at the final sale, and it's included in the price. When you buy something for $19.99 in a fair tax world, you give the clerk a $20 bill, you get a penny change because the fair tax is embedded, included in the price. It's not added to the price. It's part of the price.
Well, state sales taxes, that's how it's worked. I even had students who make a big point about this. I've heard it argued that I know people, particularly on the right, who say, well, I want to have people see that tax so we know how bad government is and how much we're paying. You go up there and bang, they stick that tax in.
Well, you'll know, Barclay, because you'll know it's 23% on everything you buy.
Well, it'll. I suspect in reality, it's the proposal says it's going to be collected the way state sales taxes are.
And why not?
And that gets added. Well, that's added on the end. VAT is not. And some people say, oh, see, that's those sneaky Europeans. They're sneaking in with their big government, and you don't see it. But here, why you stick it on the end there so you see it right in your face, and you know how big the government is, but those sneaky Europeans, those socialists, they're sneaking in their tax. So it's similar impact, but it's gathered.
But the value-added tax is used in many places in Europe at this point.
Yeah, we want to be just like them, don't we? We do not have a VAT in Europe, although from time to time it's been proposed here in the U.S.
Tom in Stanton, thank you for joining us. Your question for economist Barclay Rosser or Tea Party activists Al Tucker and Doug Larson, please.
Good afternoon. I'm interested in the fair tax. This is the first I've really heard about it. And I'm curious about how the government under this system would raise taxes in periods of sustained drops in consumer spending, depressions, what have you. It seems to me that it's not very resilient to tag government expenditure income to consumer spending because it would assume that consumer spending would stay relatively constant over time. Just curious about your guest's thoughts.
Al Tucker.
I will take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling in. The question is, which base would we rather tax? The earning base, the paycheck base, or the spender base? For 2009, this is current, the most current numbers we have from the IRS, 2009, $137,982,000 tax forms were filed in a country of over 300 million spenders. I think it's easier to tax the large pool, and it actually is much more stable than the earning pool. Barclay?
I don't think there's a big difference here. The fact of the matter is, whether you're taxing income or you're taxing sales, probably the biggest one that's different is property taxes, because property values don't change that much as rapidly. You have a recession, both sales go down and incomes go down. So your revenues go down. So you're going to have a problem. This is not a particular advantage of the fair tax over current system. Revenues will go down either way when you have economic activity, sales, and incomes going down.
Tom, thanks so much again for your question. Next to Wintergreen. Chris, you're on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was wondering, we've got really high taxes on tobacco and gasoline. How's this fair tax going to affect that?
They're gone. It's a 23% tax on embedded tax on everything that you buy that's brand new, whether it's gasoline or tobacco, anything.
So the cigarette taxes that now...
Now, that's a state tax. So
yeah,
I can't, we're talking
state,
about a federal
state taxes
tax.
Are not affected.
There are federal cigarette taxes, and there are federal gas taxes.
That's right.
Those also go... Those excise taxes, the tax, federal excise tax you pay on tires, that all
that's
goes
correct.
Away?
It will be one simple, transparent, easy to understand, easy to keep track of tax on every new service and good you buy.
Chris, federal does that tax. Answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks so much for taking the time to call us. Phone number 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. All of our lines are busy at the moment, so if you're trying to get through, please be patient. Or if you have access to a computer and a Facebook account, you can post to us where we are listed on Facebook as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Brian in Stanton, your question or comment, please.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. As a co-owner of a small business operation, an LLC, would the prebate from this tax, how would that be returned to the company? Or would it go to the partners individually, or how would that work?
Strictly to individuals. Businesses are completely cut out, totally, both paying and receiving.
But with your small business, this is Doug, with your small business, remember you won't have to have any payroll taxes for your employees. That all goes away, and keeping track of all those type of things goes away. You will have to take care of some paperwork, however, and that is with your sales. If you sell something, you need to be able to report that. The way that that's going to be collected is going to be very similar as it was before the 1913 change, and that is before we had the individual income tax, the states would pay the federal government from what they collected from the individuals in whatever way they did it. And the retail store like Walmart, they'll collect the sales tax. They'll receive a certain tiny percentage for doing that. They then forward it to the state just like they do now. And the state will then get a little tiny percentage for taking care of it, and they'll forward it to the federal government. But there's one thing I think we really need to add in here, Tom, and that has to do with the underground economy. As you know, there's many illegal activities in the United States who don't pay any taxes at all. Now, when they buy a car, when they buy a house, whatever they do, it's brand new, they have to pay the 23% sales tax. So we think there'll be at least $3 trillion in that underground economy that will come into the coffers of the United States government.
Brian, thanks so much for your call. Barkley, you had something that I cut you off from before.
There's a general point I'd like to make. I guess it's really a comment about the how much of an impact we can expect on real economic growth. And, I mean, I think that the current tax system has lots of problems and is damaging in a variety of ways. But many people discussing taxes, I think, overstate the impact of the tax system on economic growth. Let me note, this is shocking but true, between 1940 and 1964, the top marginal income tax rate in the United States was over 90%. Since 1987, it has not been over 40%, but the U.S. economy grew more rapidly between 1940 and 1964 than it has since 1987. Now, I'm not an advocate of going back to that 90% rate, but the fact of the matter is that's just a sign that the tax system is not quite as important in terms of economic growth as a lot of people think.
Got 10 seconds before the break if you want to add something.
I know where $13 trillion is we can bring back today.
So maybe we'll ask you about
that
when we get back. This is Virginia Insight. We're talking about a proposed national sales tax that supporters call the fair tax. If you have a question or comment about it, the call-in number is 888-WMRA-TALK. If it's busy, please be patient and call back. We want to thank Brian, who was just with us. Kevin in Churchville, you'll be next when we get back. Then Charlie, then Mark.
If you drive a car,
I tax the street.
If you drive to sit,
I tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I tax your feet.
Of course, the Beatles, also from 1966, singing about taxes. You don't have to sing if you call us, but you can speak your question or comment at 888-WMRA-TALK. Next to Kevin
in Churchville. Kevin, your question or comment, please, for Tea Party activists Al Tucker or Douglas Larson or JMU economist Barclay Rosser.
A question for anybody that's got an answer here. The fair tax, a fan of that, but certainly wonder how we'll address trades on Wall Street. Will there be any thing that we can collect from that?
No.
This is
by trades of on Wall Street, do you mean the money you earn in an investment?
Well, any of that trading that occurs on Wall Street is a sale of something.
So. Yeah, that's capital gains tax. That goes away. You keep all that you earn.
No, there's a lot of proposals for what's called a transactions tax or a Tobin tax or a Robin Hood tax. This is being very seriously considered now in Europe to, in fact, tax all financial transactions by some rate. But this would not do that at all.
The fair tax does not have a tax on that transaction.
It doesn't tax your savings. It doesn't tax your investments. You get to keep all of your money. And it's a voluntary tax. You pay the tax that you want to pay by buying.
Well, Kevin's question also reminds me about the idea of taxing services, which there's actually some talk in Virginia in this current General Assembly session about adding that element to the state sales tax. If somebody repairs my car and gives me a bill for $150 for that repair service, do I pay a 23% tax on that service? You're not. They can't hear you so well when you nod your head, Al.
That was a nod. That was a yes.
Yes, yes.
Not a shake.
Okay. But if I make a trade and I buy stock on Wall Street, I don't pay 23% on
an investment,
purchase.
On a sale of a stock that you make money, now you would pay tax on, not in a fair tax world.
But if I buy $150 worth of stock, I don't pay a 23% tax.
No, it's an investment.
Okay. All right. Kevin, did we answer your question?
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for taking the time to call us. We're going back to Stanton. Lots of calls from Stanton today. Charlie, your question or comment for our guests about the proposed fair tax, please.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I hear all the talk about the income tax going away, but I'm wondering, what about the Social Security payroll tax and Medicare tax and that those types of payroll deductions?
Charlie, I'm so glad that you asked that question, because I'm guessing you were not with us at the beginning of the hour, as many other people were not the first time that came up. So let's go back to it, Al Tucker.
They're all gone.
Does that answer your question?
I tuned in after the about 15 after the hour. So
that's absolutely permitted, and I'm very glad that you did. I just wanted Al to repeat what he'd said earlier in the hour, is that all of those federal kinds of income taxes, including the payroll tax that covers Social Security tax and Medicare tax, all of that would go away and be replaced by the revenue from this national sales tax under this proposal. Do you want to nod your head out?
That's correct. That was a big nod.
And the payments, the payments to the Social Security come out of the general fund. In other words, people that are on Social Security now still receive their checks. It's just where the money comes from.
Does that address your questions, Charlie?
It does. I'm for it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for taking the time to call us. I probably should give out the phone number again, huh? 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. We're actually not getting a lot of comments on Facebook, but we got one before this show began. So this is from someone who didn't hear your full explanation. All he saw was what we posted on our Facebook page about this being, in essence, a 23-cent national sales tax. And Ron said in response to that, quote, a surefire way to destroy the economy for good. Wow. I'm interested, Al Tucker, if that kind of response, when people first hear about a 23-cent national sales tax, is not uncommon.
My question would be, if the federal government could keep getting funded at the same rate it's getting funded now, that means taking the same amount of tax money it's taking right now, maybe even a little more, but the Facebook poster could take his entire paycheck home with no federal tax taken out whatsoever, wouldn't that be good for him? Wouldn't he have more to spend? Wouldn't that spur the economy?
Let me note one.
This is Barclay Rosser.
Okay, let me note one possible danger that hasn't been mentioned in this. this is really a problem with any really big tax system change, anything, whether it's flat tax, whatever, is that you're going to have a lot of effects on people that they're not expecting. You're going to have a lot of people who, in fact, are going to find themselves losing tax breaks that they're used to, like all these people with mortgage interest deduction. And, you know, so some people are going to gain and some people are going to lose, and there's going to be a lot of disruption. There's actually an argument for, in fact, just freezing all changes in the tax code for 10 years, because part of the problem with the complexity is that people are, it's constantly changing and nobody knows what's going on. So I think there's some better things they could do, but really, really big changes, you're going to have a lot more transition costs than I think a lot of people realize. And maybe it's a great thing after it's done, but a lot of people are going to take a hit that they don't
know. For example, before is that one of the major problems in our tax system is what some people refer to as the churn. And in fact, what we hear some Republican presidential candidates talking about today as being a major effect on the economy is the unpredictability.
Right.
That
I think this is one of the bigger problems. There's unpredictability. People don't really know what the tax code is. This is one of the reasons why we need at least some simplification and fewer changes. But no, if you're doing a revenue neutral change, then what's going to happen is that some people are going to pay more, some people are going to pay less. Not everybody's going to be paying less.
Everybody's going to pay the same rate. Barclay.
But some people are going to be paying more now than they are, and some people are going to be paying less. And there's no way kind of to know ahead of time who those people are, and you're going to have
The people with more money pay more.
No, not the really high income. That's the very high income people will pay less, very much less.
No, they spend their money. They'll pay more.
They'll invest their money, which will give a lot more money in the banks, which means we'll have a chance of having interest rates come down because of the increase in amount of savings.
What he said.
Well, yeah. Interest rates are basically at zero right now, so they're not going to come down.
Again, for people who've just recently joined us, Barclay, what you had said before is that somebody who makes $10 million a year and spends only $1 million is going to pay considerably less in percentage on their income.
2%
of
their income, yeah.
Than somebody who makes $100,000 a year and spends
$50,000.
Yeah, okay.
$50,000 is probably going to be beyond. They're going to be paying it.
But that family of $90,000 is still coming out better.
I've been puzzled here because usually on the show, if anything, we get more calls from women than from men. Until now, all of our calls have been from men, and all of the postings on Facebook have been from men. And this is a sales tax, a consumption tax that I would think that women would have some questions about. So, Elizabeth, I'm really glad that you are our first female caller. Thanks for calling in from Waynesboro. Your question or comment, please.
Okay. First comment. I do think it would be a harsh tax on the low income, which I am a member of, and we mustn't. And the sentence in a preposition, but I dare to. And I do think the transition from our current system of Social Security, or the IRA, rather, I have one thing on my mind at a time. But anyway, our transitioning from one kind of taxing to the other kind of taxing would cost so much in changing, because change with the departments, with the people, with employment, it would be staggering. It would be just worse than what what anybody contemplates now.
Elizabeth, can you hold on for us? I want to get our guest's response to that, and we've got so many people who've been trying to get through. I'm going to ask Mike, who's been driving along Interstate 81, to also offer his concern, and then have the guest respond to both of you. Mike, you're on Virginia Insight. Thanks for calling us.
Hi, how you guys doing? My concern was with how this would affect an industry like the housing industry. I believe someone mentioned earlier that there would still be that 23% tax on new houses. So who would be able to afford like the $300,000 house when just the purchase of it's going to add another $75,000 to it?
But Mike, the cost of the house you're buying now already has a 23% embedded income tax. The cost of labor and all the taxes paid on labor and capital going into building that house are embedded in the cost of the house. You're paying it now. And not only that, in a fair tax world, you can save a lot faster for a much bigger down payment and do way better in a fair tax world for that same house.
Also, to Elizabeth's concern about how this would hurt the poor, Barclay.
I would agree with them. In fact, it's the prebate means that the poor are going to do pretty well. I'd like to discuss.
And wait, before I want to make sure that we've addressed this, Mike, did we address your question?
I want to say.
Sort of. I still feel like
I want to talk about his.
You know, there still be additional cost to it that's not there, and the.
Okay.
Like even thank you for offering that.
Well,
yeah, but I also want to make sure that we're fair to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, did you hear about the prebate before?
Somewhat. It's rather, I couldn't tell whether it was prebate. It sounds almost like a narcotic.
So in essence, you might get somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 a month cover your initial spending costs for anybody up to the poverty level of what this 23 cents on every dollar would be. And what our economist Barclay Rosser is saying is that actually under that kind of tax system, the poor make out better, in your view, Barclay?
Most of them will do better.
Now, Elizabeth, thank you very much. Mike, thank you very much. Barclay, your continued comments.
Well, I wanted to mention about housing. I mean, the really big change there is you're going to get rid of the interest deduction for mortgage, which is a really huge part of the current system. And whether it's good or bad kind of depends on whether you're already an owner and you want to sell or you are someone who wants to buy. Now, if you want to buy, it's going to bring down the cost. But for homeowners, one of the big problems is housing prices are going down, and the that tax break is capitalized into current housing prices, or if you will, values. If you go into this, one of the really big things that's going to happen is you're going to see an across the board probably 10-12% cut in housing values across the board, which is going to upset an awful lot of people. That may be one of the really hardest things. That's going to be one of the biggest points of resistance on this.
Al Tucker, let me go back again for people who've joined us late in the discussion. You had said before that this is a tax only on new items. So does this mean if I buy a home that is not new, that is previously owned by somebody else, I don't pay a tax on that purchase?
Has the tax been paid on it?
I don't
the person
get the
who
trick
bought
questions.
The house was purchased, so someone else paid the tax.
The first time they purchased
That's right.
it. So
now
I come along as a second or third purchaser?
That's right.
But this
no
is not
tax.
An issue of paying taxes on buying or selling houses. It's a question of the income tax deduction for mortgage interest, that's the great tax break for much of the middle class. That's going to disappear, and that is incorporated in the value of current houses. That's going
to
go
away.
You're going to see a decline of housing
call.
Values.
No, I want to respond to Barclay. You don't have an income tax deduction if you have no income to deduct from. There is no income tax.
We're back to who is paying and whose taxes are going to go up and whose taxes are going to go down. And people with big interest breaks paying lots of interest on mortgages are people who are paying lower taxes. They're the likely victims who are going to see their taxes go up.
My advice to realtors is get ready, because when the fair tax shows up, you're going to be selling houses like pancakes. It's going to be big.
John in Farmville, thank you so much for taking the time to call us. Your question or comment for Tea Party activists Doug Larson or Al Tucker, if you would, or JMU economist Barclay Rosser.
Hi, my question is in regards to businesses that do items like rent-to-own. I'll just give two different examples. One would be like these rent-to-own TV and furniture stores. And my other one is for those businesses like the one that I work for, that we bill Medicare, Medicaid, other insurances, are we going to have to fork out 23% tax on that money that we have earned from them and lose our shirts because of that tax?
You're paying roughly 23% now because it's already embedded in the cost of all the Medicare medical, whether you get a heart transplant or a hangnail removed. They are businesses like every other business, so they have all the tax constraints and problems every other business has. In a fair tax world, all of that load on the input side goes away. So you'll do way better with a fair tax.
John, thanks so much for your call. I think we got time to squeeze just one more question or comment in. So we're going to Keswick. Jonathan, thank you for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much. I just want to make a comment briefly about some of the unintended consequences. First, let me say I find the idea intriguing, and I would favor a national sales tax. I have two concerns. One is with the size of this tax, which I think is probably too big. The other is limiting this to only new and finished goods. And basically, what I'm about to say has to do with the law of unintended consequences.
And Jonathan, I'm sorry that I don't have time to let you say anything further and still give the guest a comment.
Okay.
Response to what you've said so far, because we're close to the end of the show. Unintended consequences, you want to talk about that, Al Tucker?
This fair tax, excuse me for being hoarse, just getting over cold. This fair tax thing has had $25 million spent figuring out how to make this thing work. I've lost my train of thought because my voice is going away. Take it, Doug.
Well, basically what he's asking is will be people be hurt? Will there be changes? And you've already brought out that there will be changes. But vast majority of people are going to benefit from this. Folks who have a lot of money are going to spend a lot of money, and that's going to stimulate the economy because they will not be impeded with all the tax codes that they have to deal with at this point. One thing I'd like to just bring in real quick, because I know our show is coming up, we have 50 million people come to the United States as visitors each year. They do pay taxes. They pay hotel taxes, restaurant taxes, and so forth. But now everything that they purchase and buy, they're going to be helping to pay for our Social Security and other things. This is a real deal. It's a fair deal.
Jonathan, thank you so much for calling us. Austin in Stanton, who's been waiting on the line for so long, I apologize that we did not have time to get to your call, but I hope you'll call in again on another show in the near future where this topic may come up one more time. We got maybe 10 seconds left for you, Barkley.
I just want to note that while this has been identified with the right, the idea of massive tax simplification was originally proposed by Democrats, Brad Lynn, Gephardt, Amen. Back in the 1980s, although that was a flat income tax proposal.
Amen. Our guests have been Barkley Rosser, professor of economics at James Madison University, medical doctor Doug Larson, chair of the Rockbridge Area Tea Party, and his colleague, who is a member of that group's executive committee, Al Tucker. Thank you all so much for making time for us.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on programs, and then clicking on Insight Archives. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more Insight.